Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Infobeam Technologies Limited Q1 FY20 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by entering star, then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Surabhi Jain. Thank you, and over to you, Ms. Jain.
Thanks, Manisha. Welcome, everyone, and thanks for joining this Q1 FY20 earnings call for Infobeam Technologies Limited. The results and investor update have been mailed to you, and it is also available on the stock exchange website. In case anyone does not have a copy of the same, please do write to us. We will be happy to send it over to you. To take us through the results of this quarter and answer your questions, we have today with us Mr. Avinash Sethi, Co-founder and CFO. We will be starting the call with a brief overview of the company's performance, and then we will follow with a Q&A session. I would like to remind you all that everything said on this call that reflects any outlook for the future, which can be construed as a forward-looking statement, must be viewed in conjunction with uncertainties and risks that we face. These uncertainties and risks are included but not limited to what we have mentioned in the prospectus filed with SEBI and subsequent annual report, which you will find on our website. With that said, now I turn over the call to Mr. Avinash Sethi. Over to you, Avinash.
Thank you very much, Surabhi. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Very good afternoon to you. This is Avinash Sethi, Co-founder and CFO at Infobeam. I'll take you through quickly towards the quarterly results that we have announced last week, and the numbers are already published on NSE as well as on our website. Please feel free to look at that. I know some of you are already aware of Infobeam's journey because we have either by way of conference calls or personal meetings that we have done in the past. I'll still review it and repeat it for newcomers so that they listen to it for the first time. Infobeam as a company has been co-founded in the year 2000, and we've been slowly and gradually growing step by step all these 19 years, building one technology capability at a time and serving several of our customers with a passion and focus on delivering high-quality solutions which are globally competitive. So we are happy on this journey so far of 19 years. We've been very proud to be named as a great place to work and dream companies to work for, and among top 100 IT/ITES companies in India. We are a CMM Level 3 company, which is a capability maturity model designed by the Software Engineering Institute in America, which emphasizes on the quality process that you follow while doing software development. The company operates in three major business segments. One is the product engineering, where we do product development for our clients. They own the copyrights and IP for all those products, and we build the software, the product for them, which they sell to their clients further. The other space that we operate is in digital transformation, which is trying to build old-age methodologies of business and trying to convert, transform them into digital space. So that is our core bread-and-butter business. We also do automation and DevOps as a new technology capability, where we're trying to automate not only the software development process but also the client, the business operations for our client. We have two development facilities, one in Indore and the other one in Pune. Indore being the largest facility, we have about 650 people working from Indore, about 200 from Pune, and we have sales offices in the U.S., Germany, and Dubai. There are three geographies that we have our customers coming from, U.S. being the major geography where we have a higher concentration of our customers contributing about 90% of the revenue for last fiscal. A quick summary of last fiscal, we closed March 19 with an income of 120 crores, an EBITDA of 25 crores, a PAT about 17 crores. So this is a quick summary of what we did in the last fiscal year. The last quarter of the year was a little low. This quarter we have jumped back. I'll come to those details while we talk about numbers. One interesting data point here is that our revenue CAGR for last 4 years is averaging at 29%, and our PAT CAGR is averaging at 33% for last 4 years, from 2015 onwards till 2019. We have been growing at an average annual rate of 29% on the income side, and PAT side is about 33%. From a geographical revenue breakup point of view, US is giving about 91%. Europe, which is a recent market that we entered into, is about 6% now. And Middle East is about 3%. Both Middle East and Europe markets are recent entry for us. I think 3.5 years ago, we entered into this market. We are cash flow positive in both the geographies now, and we actually have multiple large customers coming from these two geographies. And last fiscal, we closed with one Fortune customer in both of these geographies that we added in the last fiscal year. The three founders, I'm responsible for HR, finance, and inorganic growth and investor relations. Siddharth, who share the same surname, we're not related by blood, but we are much more than brothers now. He manages delivery and sales for Germany and Middle East markets. Mitesh, who is my cool friend, we have a relationship of 30 years or more. He lives in the US and he represents sales in the US geography. At the same time, he also looks at new technology development for us. We are very fortunate and we are very proud of our core team, who has been with us for a long period of time and who have grown with the company, who have been a strong pillars of skills and confidence that we have in terms of growing the business further from where we are. So this core people are with us, and they have been contributing in the growth of the business significantly. All of them, almost all of them, hold stock options as well, which is our corporate program called InfoBeans Partner Program. There's another slide on the key milestones that we have achieved. One recent key milestone that I wanted to share with our investor community and the shareholder community is on 15th of July 2019, we migrated to the NSE main board from NSE Emerge platform that we were for last two months. We were listed on the NSE Emerge on 2nd of May 2017, and 15th of July 2019, we moved to main board, NSE main board. So if some of you are new and you're trying to figure out our quarterly results or annual results on NSE India website, you will not find it there because they are in the middle of transition right now. We are working with them to have all our data uploaded and updated, migrated from NSE Emerge to NSE India website also. But most of them is already available on our website at infomins.com/investors, so you can get it from there. Some of the awards and certifications that we have been receiving, as I talked about, was Great Place to Work, dream companies to work for, CMMI Level 3 certification, Asia's Best Employer Award, Corporate Social Responsibility Awards, and we have also got a Brand Leadership Award in the state of MP very recently. We are proud of our state-of-the-art facility, which is pretty unique in Indore, where we have capacity to house about 800 seats. We have two facilities here, actually two and a half, I would say. The one is on the second floor. There is one on the first floor, on the second floor, as well as on the third floor of the building, which is provided by the MP government. We have a lease premises here of about 80,000 square feet. We have another state-of-the-art facility in Pune, which is at Giga Space Viman Nagar, which is an IT park. It's a lease capacity, a lease facility, which houses about 240 seats. We have 200 people working there at this point in time. Highlights of the last quarter, we added three new clients in Middle East, and we have got a few verbal approvals, but we are waiting for the agreements to be signed so that we can declare that in this quarter. But yeah, we've been growing well and adding new customers. Some of the client list which is mentioned there is ALM, which is American Law Media, Polaris, which is a IT firm in New York. It is not the same as our IT company, Polaris, in India. It is a different company out there. CoAdvantage, which is into HR solutions, is another customer. There is a company in the storage solution space, which is a Fortune 500 customer. It is under NDA, so I can't name it. There is another company called is Viatech, which is into online content creation and publishing and management. We provide them the software solutions to manage their content, publish it in the real time. There are a few more large customers that we've added, which are like Fortune 100, 500 companies, which we've added in the past, in all the three geographies. People often ask, what are our key strengths? So I keep telling them, I think the biggest strength that Infobeans has is the ability to maintain the confidence and trust among all its stakeholders. And when I say stakeholders, the list includes customers, team members, we don't call them employees, we call them team members, vendors, and as well as our investors, shareholders. So it is the fundamental, I would say, ability to create long-term relationships on the basis of trust and quality of delivery that we have been able to maintain our customers for a long period of time. The top 10 contributing customers to us have been with us for an average of 7 years. Similarly, at least, I would say 15% of our team of 850 people are with us on an average of 7 years. And same goes with our vendors and with our investors. Those who understand our business, they have been with us for quite some time. So that's some of the pointers which are listed on the slide is like, you know, proven track record of profitability, high revenue growth and profit margin that I talked about. You know, a team of skilled professionals with a great work culture. Growing blue chip client base. So by now we have 7 Fortune 500 customers as our customers. So it is very unusual for a company of our size to have so many direct relationships with Fortune 500 customers. I think that is our strength and achievement as well. We have been staying focused on custom software development only. We don't intend to go into product business. We don't intend to go into any hardware or any sales support or any other BPO kind of activity. We want to stay focused on our custom software development, especially for enterprise-grade clients. And then we have a very high standard of corporate governance, very transparent operations and a professional management team. I think these are some of the strengths areas that we have which differentiates us from our peers, both in the listed and non-listed space. Some of the verticals that we, industry verticals that we operate in are healthcare compliance, storage and virtualization, media and publishing space. Interestingly, we don't really operate for magazines or newspapers or any other news websites. What we do in the media and publishing space is we create technology platforms and content management platforms for regulatory bodies. And these are also termed as standard development organizations. So similar to what we have in India, which is RERA, which is a real estate regulatory authority, we have similar companies in the US where they are non-government bodies and non-profit organizations, but they are responsible for managing regulations across many industries, including real estate. We are one of those customers where we create technology platforms for them to manage their guidelines that needs to be published. People need to buy those guidelines, like architects, real estate and agent, construction companies, or municipal corporations. They need to purchase those guideline books. And these companies that we work with, they would make it online. So it's a digital transformation kind of work that we've done for them. Similarly, in healthcare compliance, we work with a company called Scolaris, which has a very niche product in offering healthcare compliance for all the pharma companies when they do clinical trials. So the regulations are very tough there. Every pharma company, when they come out with a new drug, they have to submit their reports on the clinical trials. And they cannot throw money left, right, and center to get the drugs approved by the authorities like hospitals, doctors, and clinics. They have to keep a track of every single penny spent, and therefore, which is where these products are being used, where they keep a record of every spend on those clinical trials or in the process of those clinical trials. And as I said, this is a very niche product, kind of a monopoly in the market. And we've been working with this customer for 6-7 years already. Similarly, there is another company on the storage and virtualization space, which is a very large company which bundles hardware and software, data storage hardware and a software, a proprietary software, shipped as a bundle to their customers. We work on the software piece for that company, and our software gets shipped along with the bundle that they send it to their customers. So we are very critical to their business operation because that's their sole business. When we, as a company, I think the primary focus for us is always been growing it faster than the peers, faster than the industry average. And since we are a small company, we can certainly target that. So we have several growth strategies identified, and is also part of our RHP when we filed up for IPO. It is always part of our investor presentations. And these are strategies that are working for us. So we look at growth, which can be achieved by two means. One is an organic means of growing the business, and the other is inorganic means of growing the business. So on the organic side, we have this geographical expansion that we did a few years ago. We also are actively investing in our sales and marketing and improving our reach in the markets that we are present. We are focusing on the right kind of targets and trying to generate a much larger client acquisition count. So we work with limited number of customers in a year, like 40 to 50 customers only. And last year, by end of 2019, March 2019, we were able to secure 17 new clients in that single year alone, which was a result of our extended efforts in terms of sales and marketing that we've been doing in our geographies, all the three geographies. We are also working very in a focused manner but in extending our reach within our existing customers. So all these Fortune 700 Fortune 500 customers that we have, we are trying to penetrate deeper and wider in these organizations so that we can sell more projects and more services within various departments of these companies. We've been successful in doing that as a separate function. And the other aspect is the inorganic growth. I paid two visits in the month of June to companies in LA and San Diego. And we are continuously working in that direction and trying to figure out the right fit for us where we can grow inorganically as well. The range of companies that we're looking at is in the revenue range is from $4 million to $10 million. Profitable companies with little offshore presence so that we have much larger synergies to offer. And we are trying to look at the companies in the areas that are similar to us or the areas that we aspire to go in, like user experience, like automation, like ServiceNow. So we are actively pursuing those opportunities. And you know, as and when that happens, we will announce it publicly. I'll skip through the service offerings. It's there on the slide. You can read it. Self-explanatory. I'll quickly jump on to the consolidated income statement for the last 5 years, where we said that our CAGR for revenue is 29% for last four years. FY15 we were at 43 crores in revenue, and FY19 we crossed 120. So that's the kind of growth we have been achieving, from a PAT of 5.5 crores in FY15 to a PAT of 17 crores in FY19. We try to maintain our EBITDA and PAT margins. Our EBITDA range is usually between 20 to 24%, and our PAT is usually in the range of 15 to 17%. That's the average, I would say, over the last 4 years. We've been adding cash to our reserves. Every year we're profitable and we're adding it to our reserves. We are building the war chest for the right opportunities that come our way. So while we were doing the IPO in 2017, we were looking for companies in the range of $2 million. But now with the new ability that we have, we have increased our range and we have gone up to $10 million in terms of scouting for the right target. So that gives us a lot of ability and power to quickly strike when the target is right and when the opportunity is right for us. On the income statement for this quarter, the quarter ended in June 2019, the total income is 31.7 crores. That includes 2 crores of other income, as compared to 29 crores of total income of for June 2018. That's an increment of about 7% or so. On the EBITDA margin, on the EBITDA side, we have done 7 crores of EBITDA for June 19 against 6.9 crores in June 18. PAT is about 5 crores for June 19 as against 5.2 crores in June 18. There is a slight decrease there, but if I compare the same numbers with Q4 March 19, there is a dramatic improvement here from 27 crores in March 19 to 31 crores in June 19 as compared, this is the income numbers. on the PAT numbers, 1.4 crores in March 19 against 5 crores in June 19. So there's a significant jump. We talked about in the last quarter that March 19 numbers were depressed because some of the clients, the projects with some of the clients got on hold, or some of the projects got cancelled midway, which is a normal business case. And it was a routine business for some of those clients. Unfortunately, it happened with a few big ones, so that, and therefore there was an impact in the revenue for the last quarter, for the March quarter. But this quarter, we have sprung back into the range that we had, and we are positive that we should be able to continue to maintain and improve from here. So I think that's pretty much it from my side. We can open up for question and answers, and I'll request, I think there's a process to follow, and I'll ask the coordinator to please come back and handle the questions. I'll be able to answer them one by one.
Sure. Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may enter star and one on their touchtone telephone. If your questions have been answered and you wish to withdraw yourself from the queue, you may enter star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Balkrishna Sharma from Noobs Consultants. Please go ahead.
Hello, Avinash ji, how are you? Once again, congratulations for another set of good numbers in this quarter.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So can you share with us your major highlights as far as the quality of the revenue that has been raised, and how this quarter was better than the earlier quarters in terms of customer acquisition, in terms of the verticals that you have spread, or in terms of profitability?
Sure. So this quarter has been good as compared to the previous quarter, because as I mentioned last time and this time as well, the previous quarter, some of the key clients, the larger ones, were facing some internal issues, and therefore those projects were either on hold midway or they were delayed. Most of those issues have been ironed out in this quarter, so that's a good news. All those clients are back on track, and I also mentioned last time that this is a usual business case. You know, there is nothing to worry, and my statement gets vindicated by the numbers that we've achieved here. The good news is that the seven Fortune 500 customers that we've been working with, we are able to penetrate in at least three of them to a larger scale, and we are growing faster in those accounts by serving multiple projects to them. So that's a positive development. We're working towards penetrating more of them, because usually every time you get into a services assignment or you sign up with a new customer, they start with a very small work. There's a 100K kind of work. And usually as and when the trust builds, we get more and more work. So we are continuing in that exercise, and we are ramping up in all those clients where we see a lot of potential. On the technology side or the vertical side that you talked about, I think there are a few areas where we really focus on, like automation or UX, and try to spread the work and try to expand in those areas. But, you know, many times we can't really control what would a customer demand. So the three areas that we talk about, the digital transformation or the product engineering and the automation DevOps, I think the growth is there in almost all of them. Which one grows faster, which one grows lesser, I think is it's not much in our hands beyond a certain point, because it is the customer need that will drive it. On the sales side, we do make efforts in terms of new areas where which can give us better reach or better penetration into a new customer, and we continue to make those efforts. One more interesting point is that our new revenue is always less than the repeat business that we generate. So there's another mechanism that we are trying to understand here is how do we increase our new revenue from our new customers. So what we find is that it takes about 9 months to sign up as a customer. It takes another 9 to 12 months to ramp it up to a reasonable level. So we are now coming up with a various performance mechanisms for our sales team, where we are saying that you will be rewarded in the first year, much higher reward. The second year, you will have another set of tapering rewards. But you will continue to get commissions for the first 3 years of the engagement. So they are also motivated to continue to generate sales from a new customer. So that's the new template that we have created for our sales team and also our customer success team. So they're investing where the real need is in terms of generating larger revenue from new customers. So far in the history of InfoBeans, more than 90% revenue is from repeat clients. That's a very simple mechanism or calculation that we've done, a computation that we've done. But now we are digging deeper into it to figure out how we can use the first 3 years to maximize our reach inside a large client, and also, you know, award the team for conducting that. So that's another way of doing it. On the profitability margins, we are back into the same range. And as I said, this is what we average up throughout the year and throughout the 19 years of history. So we are confident that we should be able to maintain those margins unless there is a severe, drop, or there is a, severe issue with the, which is a macro environment, otherwise we feel comfortable in terms of growing and maintaining our margins in the organic mode. I hope I answered all your questions.
Yeah, surely. But there are concerns, Avinashji, on the inorganic growth path, which probably is holding our growth to the desired level. So you did mention the efforts that you have put in during your last visit to LA and San Diego. But what really you are visualizing, I mean, going forward?
See, Mr. Sharma, it is very difficult for me to comment because we are in the discussion mode, and unless we get into a definitive agreement, it is very difficult to comment on it. So rest assured, we are making a lot of efforts in that direction. We have a lot of firepower because of the cash that has been accumulated in the system, and we are very cognizant of the fact that this is an important strategy, and this is a key strategy to grow the business faster beyond the organic means. So be assured that we are very, very seriously working on it, and there are good developments in the past, in the recent past. But unless and until we are into a definitive agreement, there is no way I can make any announcement or any declaration on any of those things. So it is very difficult to even give you the progress as to what is the progress that we have made, whether we are in a serious mode, whether we are still talking. It's very difficult to come out with a status on inorganic efforts that you're making. I hope you understand my...
Yeah, surely. And one last question, Avinashji, about the per head revenue generation per employee. Is it... getting better, or you still need to put in more manpower, training costs and other costs?
So we are working in that direction. I think in the month of May and June, we have done some optimization. there is a definitely good amount of scope, good amount of potential here to improve from there. But yes, we are improving marginally.
Thank you, Avinashji, and all the best.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may enter star and one. We have the next question from the line of Anirudh Bhandari, an investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, Avinash. Good evening. I wanted to know your views on growth going ahead. Last quarter, you said you would grow by 15% to 20%. So could you give guidance for this year since Q1 seems to be subdued?
I think we are back on the chart. We are back on the growth path, and as we have grown 29% for the last 4 years, I feel 15-20% range is pretty comfortable.
So where is the growth coming from? New clients or existing ones?
Historically, 90% of the revenue or more comes from our existing customers. And as I said, we are now redefining what we call as a new customer and what we call as an existing customer. Earlier, we were just going with the format that, if I have done first project, it is a new customer, the second, it is an old customer. Now, what we are saying to our sales team also, and we are saying it to ourselves as well, that let's treat a new customer at least for next 3 years as a new customer and make more proactive sales efforts in terms of raising the bar and trying to see if they can make their customer a $1 million customer. So the sales effort should continue in that direction and try to generate much more value from the same relationship. And after that period, we will call it as an old customer. So we're trying to change certain things in the sales model and come up with a new mechanisms. But essentially, what we're trying to do is we're trying to incentivize our team to generate more revenue from the same customer, which is relatively easy as compared to a new customer, where we don't have a lot of relationships. So this is a different model that we're trying this year, and we are hopeful that it will incentivize our team to be more alert and more focused on generating a larger value. So 15-20% range is comfortable to us.
This is revenue growth or bottom line?
Revenue growth.
Okay, and margins would remain between 20% to 22%, right? EBITDA margins,
yeah, should be in that range. That's what we consciously make an effort. We have a monthly tracker where we keep a progress of every expense and every bit of income, and try to optimize during the course itself. So we course correct very quickly if there is any deviation. So we try and have those mechanisms in place and act very, very quickly to protect both the margins as well as to infuse growth in the system.
Okay, and the other question is, what's your views on risk associated with the global trade war, etc., which is taking place right now? Any views on that? How does that affect our business?
It does not. I think, even during the IPO days, a lot of people were asking if Trump will be a negative thing for us. Actually, Trump has been positive news for us. There has been no sanctions on the services side of the business, so that doesn't hurt us so far. But in the future, who knows what Trump will do next. So those macro risks remain. But so far, we are actually benefiting from the policies that Trump has implemented.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may enter star and one. We have the next question from the line of Devarsh Vakil from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. So my question is regarding our inorganic growth opportunities. So how many companies have you pursued, and how many offers did you make, and can you just throw light on why the offers got rejected, whether we were conservative in offering the evaluation, and what kind of geographies and what kind of business area you are pursuing these deals?
Very good question, Devesh. I would share a few things here. So we have a typical acquisition criteria document which provides the criteria to our advisors and to our people who are scouting for the right targets. We're looking for the first acquisition we are focused on in the US market, which is a market that we know for the last 20 years or more, and we are very comfortable with that market. The range is from $4 to $10 million. Since the IPO, we have actually made five offers to companies all across. There were four companies in the U.S. market, one in Germany market, because we have been working with that company, so we took that exception. So we know that company for a long time. But essentially, we are focused on the U.S. market. The reason why these offers got rejected again, it is after the fact that we have been discovering all of those things. One is, any IT services business is a lifestyle business. You know, they are generating cash, and there is no real urgency for them to sell. Out of those five offers, that actually almost all of them were from the first-gen entrepreneurs, and they have never done any such transactions in the past. And they're obviously, as founders, first-gen entrepreneurs, you are really attached with your business. And what we have been discovering is that they've been looking at these offers is a way to figure out their valuation. The moment we gave an offer to them based on our own analysis and evaluation process, they start to ask at least 1.5x to 2x more than what we have offered, which obviously looks very unreasonable to us. And it's not that the valuation was a sticker shock to them. It was really discussed in the previous discussions or previous meetings or one-on-one that this is the range that we are expecting the company to be valued at, and that our offers are around those range itself. But all of a sudden, you know, once you bring out an offer, their expectation changes. In one case, which was actually pre-IPO, we lost out to another company where the company took another bidder as against to us. However, 3 months later, they came back saying that the bidder has gone back and they are not proceeding with the deal. So would you want to pursue it again? We actually pursued it again and found that there are challenges where the valuation is dropping further. And, you know, once we made that second offer with a lower valuation, they never came back. So essentially, there are multiple issues, especially I think the bigger issue is the intent to sell. There is no urgency to sell. And therefore, they always, you know, think that we'll try to look at it the next year, or maybe, you know, a better bidder will come back or come, and then we'll probably sell at a higher price. So I think that is what is hurting us at this point in time in terms of the delays, that there's a real pressure or urgency to sell a business, especially a profitable business, which is an IT services business, is not there. That's one bigger factor, I would say. The other factor is the inexperienced part, where the promoters are doing it for the first time. So there's a lot of nurturing that is required. More often than not, people do come back. And this time when we went to LA and San Diego, we actually changed our approach, and we took it as a sales effort, try to, you know, show the synergies, try to show the benefits in a more pronounced manner than getting into the nitty-gritties of the offer. So we changed our tag as well, and we are seeing that there is a better acceptance of what we are saying now. So let's see what happens in time to come. But As I said, we are learning in the process. We are figuring out what if there is a real intent. We are now building those triggers or filters in the process itself so that we don't lose our time and energy in non-serious candidates. So there is a lot of effort going on. We have advisors which are working on the success side of success fee basis on the buy side, and shortlisting companies or the industries that we feel are potential candidates, and working on all of those. So yes, it's both an hunting and a farming exercise, but you can't stay unless it is done. So yes, continue to work on it.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you, Devashish.
Thank you. Participants, if you have a question, you may enter star and one. To ask a question, you may enter star and one. We have the next question from the line of Garvit Bhandari, an investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, Avinash.
Hi, Garvit.
So you talked about the revenue growth being in the range of like 15% to 20% this fiscal year. So is it purely organic or does that factor in some inorganic component as well?
No, it is purely organic. Inorganic, will happen as it happens, but obviously. So one of the simple objectives that we kept for ourselves is try to double every 2 years with a combination of organic and inorganic growth. Organic, we feel 15-20% is a comfortable range to achieve. The other 15-20% should come from inorganic side. And that's what we are attempting. But, easier said than done. Inorganic is still some kind of unachieved goal at this point in time. But, we are confident that it will happen sooner or later. And we are working towards it.
So we did, I think, a 7% year-on-year growth in Q1, right, this quarter. So the next 3 quarters, then we'll have to be well in excess of, I think, 20% or so to achieve this 15-20% growth. So do we have enough, order backlog or, enough visibility into the pipeline to see that, we'll have this kind of revenue growth in the future quarters?
So we do see a good amount. I mean, I would say that in the business that we are, visibility changes dramatically also time to time. And that's what happened in the March quarter. But there's always a fair bit of confidence because of the repeatability and the nature of the business or the clients that we've been working with. They do share, some of the bigger ones do share the forecast of the project pipeline, and we try to map our resources pipeline around it. So there's a fair bit of visibility that, we should be growing from here. It is difficult to put a number to it, whether we have a visibility of 20% or we have a visibility of 15% or 10%. But I think it is, things change dramatically also. And, in all these years, we have seen that it is very difficult to predict more than 2 quarters in future. So I see this quarter as a good one. I see the next one probably is going to, meet our expectations. So, as I said, we should be able to, get into that range of 15%, 20% kind of growth. 15 probably is more achievable, 20 is difficult looking at the first quarter. But I think that is the range that we are probably comfortable with. Because as I said, who knows, next quarter the client comes with a big requirement. And so there are several factors that are, invisible at this point in time. But based on the past experiences and based on the new set of clients that we've been able to secured in the last 12 months, we are fairly confident that we will be able to meet our growth objective.
Okay, so, and then when I see the digital transformation business, there has been, I think, a year or the FY19 or does this quarter have year-over-year growth in that segment, or is it still a little weak at the digital transformation business?
So it is, as I said, it is mostly a factor of the customers and the repeat business that is being generated. We do try and sell from a sales and marketing point of view in all the three segments. But as I said, 90% of more business comes from the existing customers. So out of those few customers which were low on in the March quarter, most of them have revived, but probably in the digital transformation space, one of them is still waiting. So it is a factor of, you know, rather than an active effort, it is a factor of the client's internal situation. So it's difficult to comment on it. But yes, the sales efforts are there in all the three buckets. Maximum, I would say, actually all of these three buckets are equal efforts in terms of the sales. We really don't sell as real transformation practice or automation practice or product engineering practice. What we sell is the industry knowledge or the technology knowledge. So, and it so happens that as one customer, you might have project in all the three buckets. We might be doing an automation for a client. At the same time, we do a digital transformation for one particular business unit. And we might also be building products which further they might further sell. So it's very tricky to define whether we'll be going more on the digital transformation or more on the product engineering. Because that's not an active effort. The active effort is whether the industry or the technology.
Okay, and can you let me know what is the cash balance that we have at this point?
Sure. It is there in the balance sheet as well. If I were to look at, okay, I'll give you the quarterly number also. So cash and cash equivalent is 32 crores, 44 lakhs. And current investment is about 8.5 crores. The non-current other investment is 43 crores. So, 75, about 84 crores is what we have in our bank. Or mutual funds or like corporate bonds or investment. So these are easily in cash.
Okay. Yeah, that's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Participants, if you have a question, you may enter star and one. We have the next question from the line of Juby Rex from iThought Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi. Could you give me the outlook on DevOps of the operations of the company?
So DevOps and automation is what we are trying to promote as a because that's what the customers are demanding. A lot of new customers are looking to save on their cost and the time to go to market. And therefore, they're saying that if we can automate the development process, some steps in the development side, software development side, and some steps on the testing side, we will certainly save and will certainly have much higher accuracy and quality of the product or the solution. So there is a good amount of demand coming in that space. So we feel positive about it. We are also investing our sales efforts there. So some of the clients that we signed up only because of automation capability that we have. We are also now expanding into robotic process automation, RPA, And we are seeing good traction both in the German market as well as in the Dubai market for this particular capability also. So, yeah, it's a fast-growing segment because the customers are demanding it. But nevertheless, once we are into the inside a customer, we have been inside the door, we are able to sell the other services which otherwise will not sell from an open market. So it is a strategy for us to go inside a large company, and the capabilities are in demand, so it is working well for us.
So is there any particular reason it was flattish for FY19 compared to FY18?
It's just that a new customer did not come in that space in this quarter, so or the last fiscal. So it is a matter of new customer that you sign up because it's a new practice, automation particularly for us, and therefore the repeat business factor is low here. While the other things like product side, there is a very high component of repeat business. Similarly for digital transformation.
Okay.
So the baseline is always maintained there, and then any new thing that adds up.
Okay.
For automation, since it's a small practice and new practice,
mm-hmm.
It is taking time to generate that repeatability factor.
Okay. And is it possible for us to give the breakup on a quarterly basis for the three divisions?
We have done that.
Going forward at least?
Oh, it is on the FY19. Right. So we'll try to do that from the coming quarters onwards. At this point in time, I don't have it.
Okay, not a issue. Maybe from next quarter, maybe it will be better.
We'll try to do that.
Okay, thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you, Dubey.
Thank you. As we have no further questions, I would like to hand the conference over to Mr. Sethi for closing comments. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much for attending the call, and thank you all the shareholders and investors for keeping their trust in us. We assure you to continue to work towards the growth, and since now we are on the main board, we will be much more sensitive and much more cautious in terms of following all the corporate governance norms and be much more transparent beyond what we've been there in the SME platform. So we continue to seek your blessings and support. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Sethi. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Infobeans Technologies Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.